Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join me for our weekend devotion as we talk about the importance of the Bible for God's people in growing to know Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. O gracious God, three in one, you draw us into your presence and love us in spite of our human frailties. By the same Spirit that binds us together, would you speak to us that what we read and ponder today will continue in our private lives so that Scripture will quicken us to live for you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 1 to 10, and I'm reading from the NIV. Jesus is speaking and he says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Just to there. And may God bless his word to us today and always. Our text for today is interesting for a number of reasons, but it helps us to arrive at the theme of Bible Sunday, which is the importance of the Bible in the life of the believer. Though this is not the only conclusion that we can draw from our text. The illustration of the shepherd in this section is in the form of an allegory in which various aspects are applied in a spiritual manner. So to begin with, there are a few things that emerge from this interesting passage. Firstly, in understanding Jesus as the gate. In verses 7 and 9, Jesus clearly states, I am the gate. By saying this, Jesus in no uncertain terms claims his role as the exclusive mediator between the God of creation and a fallen and broken humanity. What is highlighted here is the theological viewpoint of Christ alone, as well as the certainty that Jesus knows his called out ones. As the gate, Jesus is the sole entrance into the family of God, which in this passage is the sheepfold. Apart from Christ, there is no salvation. That there is a gate tells us that God's people are kept safe inside, so that thieves and robbers cannot enter and destroy the flock, meaning false teachers and legalistic leaders, much like the Pharisees in the preceding chapter of John. The sheep go in and out and find pasture, and this speaks about the true spiritual freedom and eternal life found only in Christ. What is also significant is the language of Jesus in verse 9, where he says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. One article speaks of this in and out language as almost certainly alluding to something Moses, who looking to the future said to the Lord in Numbers 27 verse 15 to 17, May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community, meaning Israel, to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. Who is this man appointed by God? None other than Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. Secondly, Jesus speaks of himself as the shepherd provided by God. He is our guardian by virtue of the new covenant established through his blood, shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. In verse 2, Jesus is identified as the shepherd of the sheep, and in verse 11, the good shepherd. In using this imagery, Jesus is almost certainly referring to Ezekiel chapter 34, where God condemns the corrupt political and spiritual leaders of Israel for their failure to care for or shepherd his people Israel. So, in verses 1 to 2 we read, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock?" To remedy this situation, God promises Israel that he will provide a shepherd himself to rescue his people, saying in verse 11, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my shepherd and look after them." How this comes to pass is clarified in verse 23, where God says, "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd." God cannot mean King David, since Ezekiel's prophetic ministry in Babylon began around 593 BC, roughly 370 to 400 years after David died. Thus, the leader promised here in Ezekiel, the descendant of David, who would lay down his life to gather, heal, and protect God's scattered people, is Christ Jesus himself. Thirdly, we have the matter of blended or mixed metaphors, meaning how can Jesus be the shepherd of the sheep while simultaneously being the gate through which the sheep enter and exit? Ultimately, this is not such a complicated issue, since Jesus was expressing his two offices as mediator. And it must be so because a single image cannot fully capture the multifaceted nature of our salvation. Essentially, the change in metaphors expresses different aspects of his saving work. As the gate, he is the origin and entrance of our eternal salvation. There is no other entrance. While, as the shepherd, he is the guide, protector, and sustainer of our daily life. And really, it can be no other way, since Jesus must be both. He is the structure that secures our salvation, that is the gate, and the person who actively loves, feeds, and dies for us, the shepherd, as verse 11 confirms, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So in closing, what can we understand from our text with regard to the importance of reading the Bible on this Bible Sunday? Of course, reading our Bibles should not be viewed as a religious chore. Here then are a few thoughts for us to think about. First, the Bible is how we hear the shepherd's voice. Verse 4 says that Christ's sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. There is no other source for us to hear the voice of Jesus with such clarity. Scripture will drown out the static of the world. It will filter out the lies of the enemy to amplify the clear voice of the Good Shepherd, so that if we are truly listening for God, we will never miss him calling us, saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Jesus speaks to us today by the Holy Spirit who brings to life the written word. If we don't read the Bible, we won't become familiar with the tone, character, and commands of the shepherd. Reading scripture regularly trains our spiritual ears. The more we read, the more instantly recognizable Jesus' voice becomes to us in daily life. Secondly, scripture is the guard against thieves and robbers. In verse 1 of our reading, Jesus warns that false teachers, thieves, try to climb over the walls of the sheepfold to plunder the flock. Without a sound knowledge of the Bible, it becomes difficult for God's people to distinguish between the shepherd's truth and a robber's lies. False teaching often sounds comforting, even convincing, but it leads the sheep astray into all sorts of wasteful and detrimental practices. Despite the reality that nowadays cash is hardly involved in purchases, it is a fact that bank tellers are trained in mastering the look, feel, and specific security features of genuine currency. By knowing what authentic characteristics banknotes have, tellers are immediately able to spot an anomaly when a counterfeit is handed to them. In the same way, by knowing the Word of God well, we are equipped to immediately spot counterfeit gospels, cultural trends, and false spiritualities that threaten our faith. A sure defense against spiritual thieves and robbers comes through reading and understanding the Bible. Thirdly, reading the Bible reinforces the teaching of Christ alone, because Jesus is the gate, the only entrance to God. Our faith and salvation is anchored strictly in Him, not in human traditions or personal feelings. In reading our Bible, we find that it continually redirects our gaze to Jesus as the sole source of life. When we open our Bible daily, we will find that it resets our minds, reminding us that our salvation and security rests entirely on Jesus as the gate. In this way, self-reliance that leads to spiritual anxiety will be replaced by faith in Christ alone. Lastly, God's Word nourishes His sheep. Jesus promises in verse 9 that those who enter through Him will go in and out and find pasture. Skipping scripture reading is the spiritual equivalent of starvation. As sheep need to feed in the pasture, so too do we need to feed on God's Word for the nourishment of our souls. Our primary spiritual diet should be the Bible, and then the opinions of outside sources and various other authors of books. Even if we hardly understand all we're reading, God will lead us into His truth so that we can live out our faith and witness in this world. The Bible contains promises, assurances, encouragement, wisdom, direction, as well as correction, all designed to help us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, and to come to know the love, mercy, and nature and character of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our triune God. No wonder this book remains the undisputed number one best-selling book of all time. Roughly 100 million copies are sold every year, which is astonishing. And so, with God's help, may we commit ourselves to reading our Bibles and so equip ourselves and acquit ourselves well in this world in all matters of faith and life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Good Shepherd of our souls, please teach us to follow You, to love You as You have loved us. Teach us to hear Your voice. By Your Spirit, silence in us the world's voice so that we can hear You and be faithful to the calling You gave us, so that we may live well in this world as Your people, in Your name. Amen. And God bless you.